Paul's recommendation was, these people are gathering together. Most of them can't read. There's no 66 books in their lap to refer to. The best they can do is go to a synagogue and maybe get a scribe to read one of the books to them a little bit that promised Jesus. It took a while for the letters to circulate. The churches to spring up. Biblical collection of which is going to go into the Bible. And we're so blessed. Yes, we got one in our lap. So Paul had to bring order because no order was ordered. So he said, look, just have some songs. And don't just people jumping up prophesying anything, taking over all. He says, have some songs. And you need some word from somebody that knows it. You've got to hear his word. Always make sure that's included. See? It's a little different now. You all read. You all got a Bible. You even got some stupid piece of steel that can quote the Bible to you. Thinks it's a digit. But now, yes. Yes. They could get carried any direction. Who was guiding? Who was to stop? Who was to do what? Who was this guy, Paul, that brought so much order? I can tell you one thing he said. He said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues, he says, more than you all the churches, all the teaching that had been done. You think he was just boasting? I thank my God. You see, he that prophesies, he speaks to the church, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Well, how do I do that? Well, yea, thus saith the Lord, if it's really him, which I'm finding out a lot of their yeas are just them. But if it's really him, and we know that it is. I mean, I didn't spend my time on the golf course before I came here. And we know that it is. See? He says it's for the edification of the church because, hey, they had no Bibles in their laps, but suddenly, from a real person used an interpretation or a real person used in prophecy, probably that had been judged by two or three apostles when they come through and set things in order and who had the genuine gifts and not. It wasn't total chaos. To think that I might be able to go and talk to a scribe and get some scripture. But I couldn't go to an index just to think I was wanting to study something so bad. I had no information to get it. And I'm going to be so stupid now not to read my Bible maybe 40 times. I don't think so. So when Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Well, like we said, he straightened order out in the church. But the speaking he was talking about was for the edification. It wasn't for the interpretation in a public assembly. It was the building up of himself. Because you know, and you read the book, The Walk of the Spirit, that you cannot utter even 30 minutes. For he that prays in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men. What? I wasn't talking to you. He speaks not unto men, but unto God. What would be the point of praying in tongues and speaking to God if he wasn't going to answer? What would be the point? When you prophesy, you edify the church. Why? Suddenly, you spoke the mind of Christ to an entire crowd in their city, in their church, where they live.
Yea, on the other side of the world, a submarine has surfaced.
So what? He says he edifies the church. But when I pray in tongues, who do I edify? Myself. Do you want to talk stubborn? I was stubborn in the past. Teacher says, every recess, just take one bite of the cheese. I don't like cheese. It's just about 9, 10. Just take one bite and you can go out for the rest of the recess. Take one bite. No. I sat there for a month to recess while the others played. And guess what? I won. I know it was my own stupid loss. But I still wouldn't take a bite of the cheese. But when I found out God was real and those guys was haphazard and preaching over on this side and that, yelling a lot about who he is and what he can do. But nobody ever laid out a direct path. Direct path. That's a sovereign, accessible, and finished as the cross is. Everything that it provided, a born again spirit of peace, gifts of healing, miracles. These signs follow them that believe. Promises of victory. Heaven as our home. The path to the cross that provided those things. Why wouldn't it be a sovereign, finished, final as the cross itself? Why can't a stubborn guy get on that path and fight his way to everything God has? That's it. He can. My stubbornness. I couldn't speak publicly. I took D's in English. I just couldn't. And then he calls me to preach. I said, that computer's got a flaw. When I knew it was him. Stubborn, walked out. I'm just saying this because there isn't nothing the cross has provided for you that doesn't have a straight path to it. I don't mean misses. I mean, if you're sick, he provided the healing. If you don't have any peace, he's got that too. Be stubborn and get on the path that goes there. I was. I left a couple of weeks ago. And I came back not the same. Well, you're supposed to, you know, change day by day, but something tremendous happened to me. And someday I think maybe I'll be able to tell you the whole story. But I know I can't right now. When stubborn, I wished I'd have recorded my first message. I came out with the mic. I memorized Kenneth Hagin's Young Baptist Boy on the Bed of Affliction. He was young. It was affliction. He got up. Yeah. His dad said, "You got it." Not too much excitement, but later on in the service it was, because I remembered what else to do. Anybody in here need healing? This woman gets up and says,
"Yes, honey, I'd like to be prayed for."
I said, "Okay, what do you want me to pray for?" In those days, they fell out so slow, I could run around and catch them myself. If you've never been to church, that must sound awful silly. Yeah. I said, "You need prayer, Matt?"
"Yes, I do, sonny."
"Well, what do you have wrong with you?"
"I have a deaf ear."
I said, "What?"
"A deaf ear."
"Shh." "Shh." "How long have you had it?"
"I've had it a long time, sonny." "I know it, and that's why I come up."
I said, "It's this here."
"Yes, it is."
"Can you hear me?"
"What?"
"Could you hear me in that ear?"
"I told you it was deaf."
"Shh." "Okay, in Jesus' name, open. Open. Okay. Please." All five of the crowd, or six, were intense. They were watching. The whole crowd was caught up with it. So after I prayed, I went, "Can you hear me?" She goes, I can hear you. I said, you can? What am I saying now?
What am I saying now?
You can hear me. You can hear me. This woman, she was deaf. I say deaf in one ear. And I it was my first one. Prayed for her. They all wanted prayer. Next time I could come back to the little bitty town, Woodworkers Hall, $5 a night. $12 for the ad in the paper.
Is that where you preach?
How do you start? Nobody wants you. What do you do? I wasn't going to wait around anymore. I went and booked my own. Could you preach? Never had. By the time the woman got done the next night, it was 12. By the time I left town, closer to 30. All I do is just talk about her healing. I didn't have to preach and have a prayer line. That's where it all started. I liked your message this morning, Gary, even though I cried and crawled off. Murmuring good things to myself. If you missed this morning, I mean, the first thing you'll do is get a needle and sew your mouth shut until it's under control. Use Velcro, then you can pull it off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't mind me. I'm excited. Remember the avalanche that came down, shoved me ahead into the love of God, and there was no going back? I've had more experiences, so much so, I can't even tell you. But I can guarantee that things will begin to show up. Woo! And one day,
are you counting chairs?
No, the chairs work for people. But these chairs that's been mocking us, because we won't turn or stop or bend from the truth, there's really only a couple of kinds of churches. There's one that gives you everything you want. Oh, every program for the children, that helps, you know. And clubs you can join, and ages you can link up together, and very, very nice messages that always tell you how great that you are and everything. You know, feel good about yourself. You're great. Anything ever happen? Yeah, they wear doors out coming and going. You jump on the devil. I mean, what do you want him to do? Fight you into doing nothing for him? Most of it's already that way. Your full-time job is religiously to drag yourself down there on the days to go to church and come back. I've done my service. And I'm glad you do that. I'm glad. But heaven has an equipping for us. I'd like to see a model of it. I go back to the book of Acts when Jesus launched them. to establish the foundation of the church. Find out what they did, where they went, and what the ones they trained did, and where they went, and how God used them, and what happened. Then do you think if Paul came to this city and had a meeting that the churches in town would end up ignoring him before he left? No. No. And Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick, sick will recover. They'll cast out devils. And they'll speak with new tongues. So when Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, what he really said was, when you prophesy, the church receives edifying. Why? Because they understand what's in God's mind for them, for that moment, for that hour. But he says, when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. Why? Same reason. Paul boasted, and I believe him. 100-mile walk somewhere. Paul had Old Testament, studied under Gamaliel. He knew about the law, everything you could know. And then knowing Jesus, if he went in and challenged a priest in the synagogue, I'd feel sorry for that guy. I would really feel sorry for him. Because he wouldn't have a chance. Knowing the Old Testament like that and responsible for writing over a third of the New. And he didn't even walk with him in person. Based on all the law he knew, what would a fisherman know? Not much. But look how much Paul knew on the law. Oh, he could cross every tittle and dot. I mean, cost a man his life. Stephen. Met with a hail of stones. He said, don't hold this to his charge. It's all God needed. To knock the living daylights out of Paul on Damascus Road. Who is this? You know who I am. See? Whenever you lay somebody on the altar, somebody you love, you call their name. You turn them over to him. And this is what you have to do. You don't take them back. You don't doubt him either. If you hear all hell turn loose in their life, just keep worshiping God. Because you drop them off with him. Do you want to know what the world looks like when you did? Here's all the activity. No, I'm not taking them back. I'm leaving them with you. I'm dropping them off. And this is all I expect. When I get to heaven, that they'll follow. Or they go before me. That this is why I'm laying them down and I won't take it back. So I'm dropping them off with you. They are your problem now. Do with them what you will or how you will. Here's all these people running around on the planet. Suddenly, about 1,000 little alterations in their life comes. Why? Because you prayed, and now they're on a collision course with your loved one to do something. Why? What do you think he came here for? Why is he going to bother to create a new heaven and a new earth? Because, like the first, you're not going to live in heaven. We're getting a new earth. We're not going to float around with wings and a harp. Some, probably more like a Johnny Cash angel with a guitar, you know. After the judgment, I looked and I beheld a new heaven. We go home. That's the total cycle of the redemption. We get it all back. Only better. And he gets a family. And you're the one that gave it to him. What did they shout over that 100? Oh, look, at least you got 99 sheep. Oh, thank God. If you see that stray, shoot it. No. They searched until they found the lost sheep. And they brought him back, and everybody shouted and rejoiced more over the one than the 99. Then, why are we here? Why are we here? Do you understand the opportunity you have to give him what he born us for? To the angels who say, who maketh his angels ministering spirit, but to the Son he says, thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. He was born of God. So are you. You're not created. You're born. So what did he do? He said, would you like an opportunity to serve me? Yes, sir. Then I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you with 100 sheep that are lost. I'm going to turn you loose on them. Go get some, boy. Go get them. Well, I'm not an evangelist. Listen to me. If I didn't have feet, I couldn't get there. If I didn't have a mouth, I couldn't talk. If I didn't have eyes, I couldn't see them. The only way I can get the world saved is when you take your part, I take my part. And if I shoveled chicken manure every day for a year and gave 300 hours to somebody that went over, got 1,000 people saved, and I gave him 300 hours of shoveling chicken manure and lived on the rest. You think that when he stands up there, because he had the mouth that said what was needed to see them born again, do you think that my labor wasn't as important as his? I'm what he used to meet his need. You mean I'm going to be standing off in the dusty cloud somewhere watching him dress up in an array of great victory and journey with the angels and shining all over? And I'm not going to be there? This is where your job isn't just to come and say, here, put something in the offer. If you didn't do that, you think that would stop me? Helps. You think that would stop me? No. Shouldn't stop you either. Should it? Don't you dare feel like we do it. We don't. Not without you. So you get ready for your reward. It won't be too distant from ours. You're not called just to be a crowd that sits here. Not in your best day.
You're asking for our money, aren't you?
No. You. Asking for you. Don't work for us. No. No. You have to know what you're doing is part of a whole. And we go together. Well, what did he say? Nicodemus, quite wealthy, self-secure, believing himself to be something. But can I ask you a question? Of course, of course. Go ahead. How must I enter the kingdom of God? Jesus said, you must be born again. You can just see him going. Because it would be a stupid answer. Must I enter my mother's womb the second time and be born? I can just see Jesus going. Said, would you mind explaining, please? So, sure. Are you ready? Yes, I am. Okay. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof. You don't know where it comes from, nor where it is going. So is every man who's born of the Spirit. I can just see Nicodemus. Oh, thank you very much, Jesus. Thank you. I now know everything I need to know about being born again. Thank you very much. All right. Bye. The wind bloweth where? It listeth. And you hear the what? The sound thereof. And how about getting in the kingdom? So is everyone is born of the Spirit. Oh, listing wind spirits. Okay, I got it. Got it. You think it's hard to understand us. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. That means it. Everywhere there's a place on the planet, it can blow there. Of course, not underground, underwater, anything like that. But anywhere, see. That word is kin, too. The one he used after he created Adam. He breathed into him the breath of life. But let me ask you a question. You think God's dependent on one of his creations to stay alive? And you don't suppose he breathed air? No, he didn't breathe air. He created it. What he was really is imparting when here you lay there, a soul laying on the ground, but this time a spirit would be connected with it. Disconnect your spirit, unplug it, pull it out. Your body isn't going to live. It'll just fall over dead. Animals are different. When he breathed into him the breath of life, he wasn't talking about just wind. He started to breathe, yes. But that's when that spirit in him was born of God. See? So Nicodemus questioned. He said, wind bloweth where it listeth. You can hear the sound thereof. Don't know where it comes or it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit. That would be like saying, he could be standing on the North Pole. Well, he could have a coat. I'd let him have a coat. He could be standing right on the North Pole. And I'm standing on the South Pole. And both of us pray at the same time. Jesus, come into my life. I want to make you Lord. Then the same breath that was breathed into Adam will breathe into him simultaneously, even though he's clear on the other side of the world, because wherever the wind blows or listeth, he could be there. I could be on the South Pole standing upside down. The thing is, we both would be breathed. We both would have our spirits born again and come alive. Because wherever the wind listeth, which is everywhere, says, every person who's breathing this air anywhere on this planet can be born again in an instant of prayer. So when you pray for somebody earnestly, like he lives in a hut in the jungle, why was Stephen transported? All of a sudden he's talking to a eunuch. Hey, King Eunuch, huh? How you doing? Need a little company? Preaches to him, witnesses to him, then baptizes him. When he comes up, Stephen's caught away. Whoa. How did you do that? God swept him away and then put him down somewhere else. You know what that tells you? There's no island remote enough to keep God from getting some kind of evangelist there. I mean, just baptizing the guy and then coming up and he's caught away to Astos, which had to be 30 or 40 miles away. Why didn't he have to walk like us? When the devil took Jesus up to that high pinnacle, do you think that Jesus flew on his own? No, the devil whisked him up. Brought him up. How about the high mountain? You think it's not possible for an angel or just God himself to whisk you up and put you somewhere where somebody's been praying day and night to know the truth that is inaccessible? If he did it then, he didn't do it to show off. That's part of revival. Anyone anywhere called on God, don't you think for one minute if their heart is genuinely calling on him for answers that he's not going to get something to them? So, no, when I come to church, don't tickle me. Don't offend him. He's a big tither. That's under the law, so let it go. No. I'd like to see that field full of people waiting for the service who can't walk. Why are they out there? Because what they heard about the last time the field was full. Happened in the New Testament? You know it did. Were they better than us? Did he just do that for examples, just to show him that it was God doing those things? Or don't we have the same chance? I can say this much. Stepped over into the spirit where spirits live, angels. I saw it. I saw it. I didn't know what would be this side of the cloud, the avalanche. I'd go further into the love of God, but I'm getting a good idea. Did you have a verse listed? Oh, yes, I did. But I think we filled two or three chapters as it is. So, whew. Anybody got pain in your body? Well, if I was pain, I'd be afraid to be here. Whew. Afraid. Have pain anywhere in thy body? Stand up where you're at. Are you ready for it to go? And just for a moment, everyone, we close our eyes. Father, I can see nothing else but you. Oh, I'm asking you, thanking you, that they not leave here with that pain. They don't have to. In Jesus' name, pain, go. Go, and the cause of it be abolished. Go. Go, pain, now. As hundreds of years before us, centuries, those words have been uttered, and they're still alive today. You be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Okay. Twist, gouge yourself, poke. I won't go any further. They all know you over there, Gary. Yes, they do. Oh, yes. In Brazil, they consider us to have a lot of wisdom and being in edification. And Paul said, I'm glad I pray in tongues more than you all. Well, he prayed the mysteries up, but what's the point of praying a mystery up? Something that's not understood normally. Pray it up about Jesus. Why bother pray it if you're not going to receive from it? Every mystery he prayed up before him, he understood. He got a piece of paper and an inkwell. You got a copy. Now you're here in the 20th. Lost world. You're praying in tongues. You think he's not going to give you messages pertinent to the time and truth? All right, check yourself out. Gouge, bend, poke. Your pain left you. Then stand back up. Yetis kiloramanda. Arakos tidala defendam bukodaskles si oto. For I don't move one part forward without moving the other part. When I do move a part forward, and that means the other part is within range of being moved forward. But rest assured, you're about to see things that you've not seen before. But then again, you're going to rest in anointing and operate in a place that you've not known before. Chakistoshio. Ooh, this one's picture form. With the boldness and all confidence inside of who you are and what he has done and what he will do. Become resident in this move. And at first you may have been that way, but you overcame it. Because you overcome the fear of approaching somebody out there that's sick. You know, walking along with a limp leg. He said, excuse me, sir, but I've been born again. And Jesus is my Savior. And he said, we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I'd like to pray for you if you'll let me. And you pray for him, and then you think about it. He runs off with a good leg. How's he going to tell his friends? Did you know not very many of Jesus' miracles took place inside of a church? Come on. Once you see a few of them, you'll get bold. Well, we want to run here and hide behind walls, not let people see.
Oh, you're one of them.
You got it, buddy. And I wouldn't give it away for $1 million. But I saw you and heard it. That's where you're heading if you want to go. Yes. I understand Wigglesworth was like that. Somebody died. Slammed him against the wall and said, "You, in Jesus' name, you come to..." And he turned him loose and fall down again. He did that about 4 times before they said, "Stop. Would you stop picking me up like that?" I heard he was a wild one. We don't want to see us preachers rushing for buildings so we can get behind the walls and do our sneaky little things. When I'm not afraid to lay hands on you and pray. Come on. What are you afraid of? He bore sicknesses and pains and their sins. And I'm not going to keep quiet. Well, if you want to, turn around and scope out the empty chairs. And scope out the empty corners in the building if you want to. Even the room on the platform. I have a feeling in this realm, it's over. Now, I laughed until I cried over the empty chairs a couple of months ago. Only because I was in the process of receiving a revelation. And when that settled in and the last war was fought, he let me know. How can I put this? He let me know that we were worthy enough, or we fought a good fight, a powerful fight that was strong enough that it took quite a bit of what hell had to repress us. So those empty chairs was part of tying up quite a bit of hell, trying to hold everything back. Not so much of what we was doing all, but so much praying and all of that, but the danger of what we was learning and the potential that we had. So he kind of launched one of those all-out attacks periodically to run people off, to empty our chairs, to do what he could. But now I can see through that like a glass window. That's why I got to laughing over the chairs. I said, "You mean we were worthy of a direct attack and tying that much of hell up?" You got that right. This is a badge of honor if you see it for how it really is. So,
well, I don't believe it.
Tell me that in about 6 months. Okay,
Brother Roberson, what? What good did it do you to talk about tongues for the whole service and then I don't even know what they are?
Well, that was, no. We'll get to it. You're here. You haven't experienced that. Out of the mind of God to create a whole language in you, pertinent to the equipping, the path, your call. and the revelations of the mind of Christ. What would be the point praying up mysteries? If that's all you did, God already knows all what you're praying.
Well, no, I'm going to pray something He don't know.
Oh, come on. We're not praying those mysteries for His benefit. Those are the mysteries that's been hid in Christ since the foundations of the world, but now been made available to you and I. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's the mystery of that? Everything it means. The redemption, reclaiming of the world. The prayer whittled all the way down where it points at you. It's designed for you, being created out of the mind of God, praying in tongues. And we don't have time. Well, and you can do it while you're vacuuming, driving, working, and even reading your Bible. He made it so you didn't even have to pay attention while you were doing it. Please, somebody tell me, how much easier could He make it? Then ask yourself, why don't I do it? I'll tell you why. Because the fight is subtle until you break it down and win, and then you'll find out why it was resisted so hard. If you can keep it subtle and you think it's just you, then it's okay. But it's not. He just don't want you praying in a language that He cannot understand. So there's not much future preparation He can do for what will be revealed inside of you as you walk out the plan of God. Man, I talked myself into it. You're on your own. I'm going to go pray for crying out loud. I'm walking home. Bring my car, will you? Sit there, come by a second. Hallelujah. So if you can't speak with tongues, come up here.